Right, go for it. You know, a number of, I mean, money is part of the mythology of art. Money and art have lived together for centuries. Good artists have always had money, or almost always have money. There's a few exceptions. And I don't feel that one has to apologize about money. You know, money is, artists don't make objects. Artists use objects to make mythological events. And money is part of the mythology of art. So we have to understand that that is, at least from my perspective, the correct view. Well, this is a very particular, singular work here, and I wanted to do something else in Paris that is relating to different ideas about what's going on for me as an artist. So the show at the Bazaar is a group of works made with cement, which uses a wholly different form language from this. And then the show at Camel Manure is a group of much smaller works that are ephemeral. I deeply believe in monochrome. I've always felt that color has a way to meaning, that form has a propensity to meaning, and that both, in a way, are part of a certain language of the abstract. I don't make figurative art, but I think many of the forms I make have a kind of human recall. Now, I hope it's an early human recall. I hope it's primordial. That's what I'm after. And color, of course, does that incredibly well. I'm a real believer in the studio. Shows are shows, great, but that's not where the real problems are. That's not where the real questions are. That's not where the doubts and fears are. Some of them, but not in majority. So the only place where one can really doubt, where one can really be, if you like, fragile, is in the studio. And I think it's vital for artists to be fragile. To not say, I know, but to do exactly the opposite, to say, I don't know. And I think it's only in really daring to not know that you can do something. How can one put it? In most of life, you know, we spend our time acting through what we know, what we've learned, the only areas of life where we can dare not to not know, and therefore perhaps discover something completely new, is, you know, when we are in those quiet poetic moments in the studio or in the bath or wherever it is. But that sense of, you know, I really don't know what I'm doing, I'm going to do it anyway, I have to do it anyway, etc. Do you know, I don't know, I've lived in the UK for almost 40 years. I'm a foreigner there, even though at many levels I'm very assimilated. And I grew up in India, and in some ways I'm a foreigner there. So in a way I feel that that's the way it is for me. It's slightly uncomfortable. You know, it used to be And perhaps it is, you know, when you're a younger artist that you want to do a show in that museum or that museum or whatever. I don't feel that impulse so strongly anymore, hardly at all anymore, I feel, in reality. And the studio remains, you know, if you like, the meditative home of the work. And, you know, one has to be able to maintain that freedom. All the stuff in the world, success and all that other stuff, actually gets in the way of the studio. You need to be free enough in the studio to, you know, go in today and behave like a hero, go in tomorrow and behave like a victim, go in the next day and, I don't know, be a child or a woman or a whatever else it is that one feels motivated to be. That fundamental kind of ability to wander and wonder is essential. And of course, all the stuff in the world just gets in the way. So, you know, one has to learn how to deal with it. You have to grow up. Most good artists are good businessmen or women. And you have to just grow up and deal with it, you know, and find the time to do this other rather more tricky thing. The most difficult thing for an artist to be, I believe anyway, is truly mysterious. And there are very few who make it, very few. Enduringly mysterious. I think Arthur Rimbaud is one of those figures. He made all his work by the time he was 19, maybe he was less than 19, 18 or 19, and then stopped writing poetry and kind of disappeared. His silence is as profound as his poetic statements. Another artist who comes in there somewhere is Marcel Duchamp. Not for me, anyway, the Marcel Duchamp of the found object. There's a profound mystery to the large glass, to his lost works, Étant donné, and a few of the intermediary works, where one can read them mystically, but somehow, all these years later, they still don't quite reveal themselves. I think to make work that doesn't reveal itself is enviable. I believe somewhere that we are not just physical beings, that we do have more to us than is described by us physically. So does that mean I believe in God? Well, I suppose it must at some level. But I think that other thing is, you know, realistic. I'm so insecure that yes, I'm me, I'm afraid. I think, you know, as I say, in the end, one can, you know, one has to dare to do projects like this, which is completely mad, really. I mean, costs too much money, we got no time to put it up. It's ridiculous, but one has to dare to do that. And I think the doing that, and of course I won't know what it's like till, you know, the day before the opening, really. Not really. I mean, I know where I've gone conceptually. I know we've made all the models and all that stuff, but it's not the same thing as seeing the object in the end. And so I think remaining kind of on the edge of being, you know, doing what I don't know how to do, and being fragile about it is what it means to be an artist.